Beautiful. Thank you. Oh, mother remains, father remains. The turning of the water wheel. I love that. To the Celts, the natural world was a place of wonder, a place of challenge, a place of the presence of the divine. John O'Donohue calls landscape and nature the firstborn of creation. Isn't that beautiful? The firstborn of creation. Because in the creation story, all of these other elements are formed before humankind appears. And so the Celts considered books of revelation of the presence of God and what it looked like and felt like and how to experience. The revelation was found in scripture, but it was equally found in the natural world, seeing nature as cathedral in a sacred space and sacred writing of the hand of God upon creation. There's a wonderful quote that she begins this chapter with, and it comes from Mary Earle. So this month, our focus is going to be on the beauty of landscape as theophany, as the presence of God. Mary Earle describes it this way: the sea, the sky, the trees, the animals, the stars, all of these are seen to be continually speaking the praise of God without human speech. It is in the vocation of the whole of creation to praise God, not only in song and poetry, but also in living creatively within the divine design and pattern. I love that, living creatively within the divine design and pattern. We can never exhaust our praise, nor can we ever capture the fullness of God's presence and gift in our prayer. The divine can be revealed through nature and through created things. It means we can join in with all of the elements and the creatures in singing God's praise. David, you couldn't have picked a more perfect reading for the beginning. Spirit always coordinates things. And so there's this wonderful sense that if you can look at the world with this Celtic, which is also very earth-based view of the world, it becomes sacred space that your soul is getting to experience. I've always found it so strange that traditional theology twisted and turned things where the world became a negative place you wanted to escape from, and instead of being a beloved child of God, you were born in original sin. I worked in a neo-ICU unit. Those children were the most beautiful divine sparks of God, whether they lived for 15 minutes or lived long lives far beyond the time that I was blessed to know them. I was asked one time to do a christening on a baby for a couple that had been born and was not going to live long when I was working as a hospital chaplain. And I was just amazed and honored to do it for them. We couldn't get a Catholic priest, and I said, we can't get one here. If you're willing, I'd be happy to bless this child. And I got the little kid out, so I knew what to do. And it was this moment of sacred space with all these machines. It was like that all faded, and then there was this sacred space. And I realized this was the opportunity for them to bless this soul. It was only with them for a little while, but to bless it. And so then I was able to do it wholeheartedly, rather than going, I can't believe in the depths of my being that I'm saving this child. Look in these eyes. This child is saving me, if anything. And so recognizing that this presence is with us in infinite ways, no matter what we're going through, shifts your whole way of seeing things, your view of yourself, your life, our shared world, and one another. With the pandemic, when we went into our homes in isolation, the thing that many, many, many people discovered was that if they could take a few moments out in nature each day, it transformed themselves and their day. Whether it was in their own garden or going to one of the beaches here, wherever they lived, communing with nature restored and replenished at a level that transcends time and space and words. We're blessed to live in a place that has a beautiful landscape to connect with the presence of the divine. I just feel so blessed. I tell people I got to go to heaven before I died, since I get to live in Port Townsend. Beautiful, special place. But wherever we journey in the world, whether it's a landscape we're comfortable with or not, the presence of the divine is there. And it is all part of a divine creation. And the landscapes that sometimes make us uncomfortable are the ones that offer us the richest gifts. There was a series I did a few years ago, and we did a class working with the Enchanted Map, which was oracle cards by Colette Barrett Reed. And it was, she wanted you to really get that life is a journey, and that you are doing, she called it, you are your destiny cartographer. Isn't that a great name? Destiny cartographer. You are mapping the landscape of your soul journey through this world. And the more consciously you can do it, the more you will draw from it and the more you will have to offer to those you cross paths with. Seeing landscape as theophany, there are places for all of us that we're more comfortable. And it's not by accident that all of the sacred traditions all over the world have as cathedral, as sacred places, some element of nature. The water that I use to bless when I do blessings, I went to a gathering of the waters that Unity Ministers in the Northwest region had. This was about 7-8 years ago. And we all brought water from different places we'd been, poured them all into a beautiful bowl. And then at the end, we took our container we'd brought our water in to contribute and filled it with the shared waters that everyone had brought. There was water from the Nile and the Ganges, from holy wells all around the world. I brought water from the Chalice Well in Glastonbury. We had water from our own Salish Sea. It was literally water from all over the world. Sacred flow of water held sacred for all people of all different traditions. I love going to the Celtic lands where you have a beautiful well and around it are ribbons tied on the tree nearby that are the prayers that people have left. We have mountains that are sacred places. We have forests and glades that are sacred places. And it's up to us to recognize the sacred beauty of all of the landscape wherever it is. Some of us are more comfortable in some landscapes than in others, most of us. I know people who are desert people, people who are ocean people, mountain people, forest people. We're blessed here to have a little bit of everything. But it's being at peace and recognizing where you are that you can find the presence of God there. If you can be willing to be right where you are, even if it's not where you might have chosen, you begin to find peace. You begin to find the presence in that place. Here are some of the place cards that were found in the Enchanted Map. I'm going to read down them, and as I do so, just think about which ones you're comfortable with and which ones you're not as comfortable with, and just reflect a little bit on why. Mountain, storm feels, rock bottom, solitude, one ring circus, ghost lands, magic stream, dragon's lair, field of dreams, golden palace, deep freeze, home, dry desert, peaks of joy, sacred pool, and wishing well. Didn't each one of those create an energy? And some were more comfortable with than others, but they all bring their gifts. So recognizing the divinity of landscape, of where you are, and think about what places nourish you. Because when you need nourishment, you can go into meditation and journey to those places. Perhaps it's a place you've done a vision quest and you're seeking an answer. In meditation and prayer, you can return to that moment of vision quest and enter it anew with what's going on right now. All the different landscapes bring their gifts as well as their challenges. And so it's about moving through it with a consciousness of being grateful for whatever is unfolding for you in a given moment. We're in November now, which is, of course, a month of thanksgiving and gratitude and celebration of what we appreciate. Our daughter called us the other day from Texas, and she's doing a wonderful thing where every day in the month of November, she's doing some act of recognizing and appreciating something that someone has done. It can be big, it can be small. She's making calls, she's leaving little cards places. She's doing all kinds of things, and I love that idea. I told her, I said, I've got to share that on Sunday. Because we do random acts of kindness. We really focus on that here. And there's a random acts of kindness week that we celebrate, and we always talk about doing it all the time. But to be in a place where you are consciously being in gratitude gifts you with a deeper sense of peace. And don't we all seek that in the midst of life? There was a wonderful book we did a series on a number of years ago also called Ask and It Is Given. And it's the wonderful process of affirming and claiming and co-creating consciously with the divine. And this we can do in whatever landscape we find ourselves. We can intend that in the midst of an uncomfortable landscape, we find the blessings. In the midst of a comfortable landscape, we can open and say, how can I gift another with this? It's all about soul unfolding and sharing. And in ask and it is given, it's ask in faith. Let the answering come, which is grace, and then allow it to appear, which is gratitude. And I love that because you start with faith, which is believing that truly you can co-create with the divine. And my favorite definition of faith comes from Scripture. It is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Beautiful words. You start there asking with this assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Start in faith and ask. So often we think we have to do it all by ourselves. Ask. There are multitudes of support in body and in spirit to be with you. And so you begin by asking. And then the next is allowing the answering to come. So often when we ask, we then think we have to be the ones that come up with the answer. And in that moment, instantly, I always loved the poster that was a Ziggy poster, and it says, "Dear Lord, give me patience, and I mean right now." That one's one I can identify with. And so by sending forth in faith and then allowing grace, allow the universe to realign and move and shift things and people and energies to allow what you've asked for to take place, is to trust in grace. And grace is simply an awareness of the presence of God. Grace. I'm not alone. There is support. And I don't know about you all, but I find grace out in nature in powerful and profound ways, because I see the cycles of how things unfold, and I can go, oh, I'm in the middle of a cycle right now of perhaps release. Doesn't mean it will always be release, but there is a season and a time for that, just as though there's a season and a time for embrace. And so the Fillmore has talked about the importance and power of being in a place of gratitude. They said it is as certain and as sure as gravity. Grace is as certain and as sure as gravity. And in the scriptures, it speaks that grace comes through. Grace and truth come through Jesus the Christ, not only and not just to him, but through him and through all of us. Because Jesus was the man that walked the earth and was an incredible way shower, one of many. But he was also held that divine spark that he allowed to empower and to guide him through the journey of his life. We all have that divine spark within as well. So grace comes through us. It wasn't an exclusive thing. It comes through us, meeting us right where we are from within, from our own divine connection. And then the third step is to allow it. So often when people offer prayers, I know I've done this, where I know what I think it's supposed to look like, and I manage to ask, and then I can go, okay, I'm opening to receive the grace, and it comes, and it doesn't look exactly like I thought it was supposed to look. That's where the allowing comes in. Drop it out of the box of your expectation and open to divine possibility. One of the things that is wonderful about the animals, if you watch them, as well as the plants and the minerals in our natural world, they don't struggle to be something they're not. They're able to lay down their bodies and return to spirit with true grace. If we could move through the world with that kind of innate connectedness and trust that the animals around us show, how much more peaceful our lives would be. And so to allow is to welcome the response of that prayer. And the key word for that is gratitude, being in true gratitude. It is said that gratitude is the natural response to the receiving of grace. Gratitude. Wayne Dyer says, gratitude is a sacred space where you allow and know that a force greater than you is always at work and always available. H. Emily Cady in Lessons in Truth says, there is something beyond the mental act of thanksgiving that seems to carry the human mind far beyond the region of doubt into the clear atmosphere of faith and trust where all things are possible. Gratitude. Being in gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, give thanks in all circumstances. All? Yes, all. And do not quench the spirit. Be open. Let things unfold, that flow of the wheel that they talked about. That divine flow is ever there. And so I found that sometimes having trouble with the allowing and with holding the intention, because holding intention is part of co-creating with the divine, as is surrendering and allowing the universe and the divine to respond. It's two wings that you need both. And so when I'm struggling with balance of how do I allow both, where I'm holding the intention and releasing the intention simultaneously. Paradox, one of the clearest markers of the presence of God, is someone taught me to use the term, wouldn't it be nice if? Isn't that great? Wouldn't it be nice if? This is the intention I'm holding, if this unfolded. Wouldn't it be nice if? It lets you release your grasp on things. And it lets you open up to whatever the response is. Because doing that is acting as if. We're taught in unity. Act as if. Because with that, you are co-creating the situation. Too often we fall into, well, that would be nice, but... the famous B-U-T, I'd add a second T on that sometimes, is B-U-T is being untrusting. I do that, but no, it's as if, it's and. Nature is and. It's not in the garden I can have one kind of flower, it's a multitude. It's not one kind of bird. It's this amazing, infinite variety of bird life. Being in the flow, allowing. Wouldn't it be nice if IF is in the flow? So if you find yourself stuck and having a hard time visioning this new landscape you want to step into, if you can't quite get there, just think, wouldn't it be nice if? And the edges soften and the possibility invites you in. Meister Eckhart has a saying that I have always adored that goes with ask in faith, allow the grace of the answer to come, and then allow it to move in and through you with gratitude. Meister Eckhart, the great mystic, says, if the only prayer you say in your whole life is thank you, that will suffice. So as you ask, as you open to grace, as you allow and receive, if the only prayer you need to do in your life is simply thank you, being in gratitude in whatever landscape you find yourself in, with whatever companions are there upon the path with you, wherever you are, God is, and truly all is well. Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, we open in willingness to act, to ask with faith, to trust the beautiful universe to respond with grace, and to allow our unfolding prayers to take right and perfect shape in right and perfect time, with hearts overflowing with gratitude. We open in willingness to walk with faith and grace and gratitude this day and in the days yet to come, for this deepening awareness of the presence of the divine. We allow our hearts to overflow with simply, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is, Om Amen, and blessed be.